on about, you know, really drove us to pray. And praise God for that, you know. And it really drove us to turn my mic on here. I'm getting signals back in the back there. All right. It's driven us. So, and I hope that it's given you an opportunity to be a witness. You know, with my mom and dad being back, I'm reminded of the story about the elderly woman who walked into a church, and they'll get that in a minute. The usher greeted her in the back and helped her up the flight of stairs and asked her very politely, she said, where would you like to sit? And she said, the front row, please. He says, well, you don't really want to do that. The pastor is really boring. She said, do you happen to know who I am? No, he said. I'm the pastor's mother, she replied, indignant. Do you know who I am, he asked. No, she said. Good, he answered. Amen. All right. Good to have mom and dad back. And amen. I noticed she's not on the front row, though. So, Sister Kathy, when Nate preached, did you sit on the front row? All right, well. I don't feel that bad then, I guess. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to take a little break from our study in the book of John. And I've felt the Lord would have me to preach and to make the topic of today's message, Christian education. Christian education, certainly a befitting topic as we get ready. And we'll, at the end of the service, we'll honor Andrew and celebrate Andrew's graduation. And he graduated from Teasdale Academy. And what a great academy that was. But how important Christian education is. And I want to entitle the message, Teach Them Diligently. Teach them diligently. If there's one issue that COVID has really brought to the forefront is the importance of what? Education. I mean, how many families have been just thrown into disarray due to the changes in how you have to educate your children nowadays? The fact is that most schools are going to require you to have your kids do their education at home via distance learning or via worksheets or whatever manner or method that they're using. And really, when you think about it and you talk about education, it's a bit of a third rail, right? I mean, if you touch it, you're bound to find all kinds of opinions, offend everybody, because everybody has a different mindset about how education ought to be. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible has a very clear mandate. We're all about mandates nowadays, right? But rather than me or the governor give you a mandate, I'm going to give you a mandate as found in the Word of God. And we're going to study this this morning and by God's grace preach on it. And when you look at Deuteronomy, I don't know if you've ever studied Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is like one big long sermon. Could you imagine sitting for this? Right? Flip all the way through. Think about how long that sermon took to preach, all 33 chapters of it. One long sermon given by Moses, probably right before his death. The book goes and really recaps and recounts and reviews the teachings and lessons and events of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. If you go to chapter 5, I'm going to just, there in chapter 5, you actually see that Moses recounts the Ten Commandments that are given in Exodus chapter 20. And then following up in chapter 6, God gives Moses instructions to give to Israel. And his exhortation here is to Israel regarding the law of God. So what is Deuteronomy chapter 6? And we'll read a few verses here in a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is an exhortation to love and fear God by keeping His commandments and to pass those on to future generations. I want you to notice here, let's go to Genesis or Deuteronomy chapter 6, and let's start in verse number 1. And I'm going to read just the whole chapter, if you would, just bear with me this morning as we do that. The Bible says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach them," or to teach you, "that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it." So Moses is starting out by saying, here's what God wanted me to give you. Here's the law. Here's the statutes. Here's the commandments that God wanted me to convey to you that you might keep them. Verse 2. "That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, at all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. By the way, that's called the Shema in Hebrew. They say that often. It's called the Shema. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Does that sound familiar? Jesus said that this is the greatest commandment, that all of the commandments are summed up into this and into the other one, the second commandment, which is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted it in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord has spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in the time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessings upon this message. Lord, that we would come from this time knowing that, Lord, we've been led to worship you, to lift you up, to think about what it means to learn and to be taught your statutes, commandments, and judgments. Lord, to understand the importance of conveying those, of teaching those, of instilling those in our children. And Father, forgive us, Father, where we have at times abdicated and maybe had less of a urgency about teaching our children about you. Lord, I ask that you would, as a church, instill in us a conviction, a recognition that, Father, this responsibility is not the church's, it's not the government's. It is us as families. And Lord, that I know that doesn't reconcile with the world's philosophy, but I pray that we would put that philosophy out of our minds and we would seek your mind, your heart, lest we forget you, lest our children forget you, lest our grandchildren forget you. Lord, I pray that you would raise up in these homes that you've represented here today a righteous generation, even in those situations where maybe children aren't quite what they need to be. Lord, I pray that in your mercy and grace that you would rescue them from the snare of sin and Satan, save their souls, and raise them up to walk with you. Bless this preaching, Lord. I need your help. Beyond anything, I need your help. May your Holy Spirit have liberty Lord, to move among us and to work and to speak to our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When you look at chapter 6, and the reason I read it all is because I want you to notice there's a pattern. The first part of the pattern is verses 1 through 3 is what? Keep God's commandments. Keep God's commandments. The second part of the pattern is what? Teach them to your children. So keep them, teach them. Thirdly, in verses 10 through 15, don't forget God. I was going to actually title the message that, but I decided to go teach them diligently. Don't forget God. The fourth part of the pattern is going back to what? Verses 16 through 19, keep God's commandments. And then lastly, do you know what the pattern is? Are you seeing it? Look at verse 20 through 25. Do you see it? Anybody see it? Teach them to your children. So you have keep commandments, teach them to your children, don't forget God, keep the commandments, teach them to your children. I believe Moses is trying to convey through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that there's something important that needs to be happening in our homes. And we see, and this pattern actually gives us a clue to why it is important. And the central point is this, don't forget God. We live in a nation, in an age, that has not just forgotten God, but has forsaken God. We live in a country who is founded on scriptural principles, certainly founded. If you think about the pilgrims, I was dwelling and meditating on why did they come? Why did they leave Holland where they had freedom of religion? Why did they come to the United States or America, as we call it? They came because they could not educate their children as they believed God wanted them to. Did you know that? They were in England, faced persecution. They went to Holland, and in Holland, they had freedom of religion. The Dutch were allowed that. But what the Dutch did not allow was them to educate their children outside the government. So what'd they do? Well, you know, it's just got to support the public schools. Think about that, Brother Zach. For them to come to America, they literally, it was like you or I building a rocket ship and going to the moon. There was no GPS. There was no sat phones. None of that. They went, and by faith, they believed in this so important, it was so important to them, that they went and they paid good money, they hired ships, and if you read the story, man, they faced great perils. Sickness, many of them died, and for what purpose? Because they knew it was important, they recognized the command of God to educate your children in the ways of God. So I want to give you a few points this morning, and my goal today, I'm going to preach with expectation. You say, what does that mean? It means I'm expecting something. Now, a lot of times when I preach, sometimes it's the expectation. My expectation is you'll hear it and you'll say, you know what, that's good. I need to think about that. I need to dwell on that. I need to develop a biblical conviction of my own of why this is important. Sometimes the unexpected happens. People get angry and upset and frustrated. I hope that's not the case. I pray you'll receive the Word of God with open heart. Number one, the first point is this. Teach them to your children. Teach them to your children. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have a real concern with one's obedience to God. An individual's obedience to God. And isn't that the truth? We ought to be obedient to God. The gospel, right, brings us to that place where we're able to be obedient to God. We want to be obedient to God. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that He came, that He lived, that He died, that He bled, that He was buried, and that He rose again, all for your sake and my sake. He delivered us through the death of His cross and His shed blood. He paid for our sins. He removed God's wrath, removed from us the penalty for sin, and He gave us eternal life, and He did so for nothing from you. He did so because of simply He loves you. He loved me. He looked at you with pity and compassion. And Jesus said, if you want to respond in love to me, keep my commandments. The gospel says to me, I don't live for God. I don't obey God's word so I can
obtain favor from God. That's legalism. I obey God because I love Him. I love Him and I want to show Him that I love Him. And the gospel brings me to that place. And here we see Moses instructing the people to love God through obedience. And you see that in verse number 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, soul, with all thy might. I want to teach you to do something. Replace the word love with obey. Now read it. And thou shalt what? Obey the Lord thy God with all thy what? Heart. With all thy soul. With all thy mind. Right, love. Be careful, right? Love is can sometimes be a very difficult thing to define. What does it mean to love? Is it an emotion? Is it a feeling? Yes. But God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey. In God's world, love is equal to what? Obedience. So when He calls on us to love Him with our heart, soul, mind, strength, He calls us to do what? Obey Him in that way. And throughout Deuteronomy 6, there's a focus on individuals obeying God, loving God through obedience, but there's also a concern with the families. Our passage is all about keeping God's commands, but what's interesting is throughout, what do you see? You see this reference to children. In verse number 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes, His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy what? Son and thy son's son. Look at verse number 7. And thou shalt teach them the commandments diligently unto thy what? Children. Look at verses 20 through 25. And when thy son asketh thee, right? Verse 21, then thou shalt say unto thy what? Son. God cares very much about how we raise, get this, listen to me, parents. This is important. Now, I want to tell you why it's important. Some of you, I love the fact that you're working your best to raise your children, educate your children, but you got to do it for the right reasons. If you're doing it just because you don't want to deal with the public school, or you're doing it because it's cheaper, or you're doing it because it's more convenient, it's the wrong reasons as a Christian. We got to do it because God commands it. Now get this, hear me. God cares about how you raise and how you educate your children. In verses 4 through 9, it starts with that Shema. He says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Here God is, or Moses is teaching us monotheism, that God is alone, He stands alone. We are to worship no one else, and it is followed by the great commandment, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. All the law, all the prophets depend on this command, the command as well to love your neighbor as yourself. And if God is alone our Lord, we are to worship Him with our all. We are to love Him with our all. We are to obey Him with our all. So how do we do that? Well, look at the next verse. I'm to do that by what? The Word of God is to be in my heart. Right? How am I to honor the Lord as my King? His Word is to be on my heart, in my heart. Next, I'm to teach God's Word to my children. I'm to make God's Word a part of everything I do. Look what it says. It should be a part of when we sit, when we walk, when we lie down, when we rise up. I am then to what? Even, right, verses 8 through 9. Probably not to go as far as the Pharisees did, which was to bind little boxes of scriptures on their hands and in the front of their eyes. You ever seen it, right? They got little boxes they strap around and they'll walk around. And they took this literally. But Jesus and God, through the inspiration of Moses, through the inspiration of God, is what? Telling us that God's design for the family. Get this. Hear me. Hear me. Kids, hear me. God's design for the family is to make God's Word a part of everything we do. Let me say that again. God's Word is to be a part of everything we do. Are you hearing that? Do you believe it? Family meals. God's Word should be a part of what we do.
Family devotions, God's Word should be a part of what we do. Attending church, God's Word is to be central in what we do. Schooling our children, God's Word is to be essential and core to what we do. Playing sports, God's Word is to be central in what we do. Out on vacation, God's Word is to be central in what we do. Are you getting this? I mean, that's exactly what He's saying. When you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you get up, they're to be on your hands, they're to be in front of your eyes, they're to be on the doorpost of your home, on the gates of your property. You say, well, is that... And what the Pharisees did is they just went and said, well, we'll put it on the gate. But they didn't get the core of the message. What's the core of the message? God's Word is central to everything we do. Now, you believe it. Yeah, I believe it, Pastor. Should, but do we? Sadly, God's Word gets relegated to just maybe some time on Sunday or some time maybe in the morning. And it's tangential to what we do. We do, and then God's Word just gets injected where it's convenient. Christian education can't be Christian education without the Word of God. It's core. It's central. His Word should be read, it should be meditated on, it should be memorized. And I'm telling you, as a church, as your pastor, I'm going to push us in that direction. Right. We're going to put together, and you're not obligated to involve, but I'm going to ask families if they'd like. We're going to have a curriculum. You're going to be able to take home, and you're going to have a right prescriptive, deliberate way to teach your family the Word of God. We don't have Sunday school. I want the Sunday school to be your house. I want you men to be, and you ladies, if that's the case, I want you to be your children's Sunday school teacher. I'm okay with that. You realize why Sunday school was started, right? Study the history of it. It was started so that children who worked 6 days in the factory, right, could come to church on the seventh day and be taught, whose parents had no care or concern that they were taught the Word of God. So churches began Sunday schools to reach these little street urchins, these kids that worked all week in the factories, to reach them with Scripture, because it wasn't happening at home. And in a church like ours, I'm not against Sunday school. I'm not saying that we will never have one. We have a Wednesday night class. I'm okay with that. But what happens, oh, so often, is that parents begin to abdicate and transfer their role to the church. No, listen, you teach your kids at home. You say, I don't know anything. Get your Bible out and learn it, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you curriculum. You're going to be able to take it. And I'm telling you, I think the voices, they've been going through obedience. We've been going through truthfulness. Has it been a help? Hey, God's doing something. Scripture's being memorized every day. We're thinking about obedience. We're doing crafts. I love it. You get to have Sunday school every day. And when your kids come to church, they're going to be educated. They're going to know the Scriptures. They're going to know the truths of God's Word. They're going to know the stories. God's design for the family is that the Word of God is central. And that's how we help the whole family. That's how we help ourselves. That's how we help our spouses. That's how we help our children to love Him with our whole being, to make God's Word central to our lives. And the role of the parents is key here. Get this now. It's key. In Ephesians 6:4, by the way, on Wednesday nights, starting in September, I'm going to be teaching on Wednesday nights what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God, found in the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians 6:4, the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but, right, raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture is what? Discipline. Education. It's like a garden, right? Or a little animal, right? What do? You nurture them. You feed them. In that garden, you weed it and you water it and you fertilize it and you care for it, right? And what are you doing? You're raising them up. You're doing all that it can to produce fruit. Listen to me, mom and dad. God has given you great authority over your children. But with that great authority comes great responsibility. To train your children in the way of God. To train them in the Word of God. And don't underestimate the awesome greatness of this task.
the benefit of this task. We have many families in here that you are first-generation Christians. Some are not.
What kind of godly descendants do you want? What kind of descendants do you want? Do you want godly or ungodly? What do you want, Brother Zach? What do you want for Johnny with Shira and Milo? What do you want, Matt? What do you want, Misty? Hear me. I'll tell you what you're going to get if you just live as the world lives and, right, education, you abdicate it to everyone else and the Word of God is not central to everything you do. You're going to get a maybe good people, but you're not going to have a godly one.
Some of you are second, third generation Christians. And sadly, what I oftentimes observe, not always, but oftentimes observe, is that once you get to that second, third, fourth generation, I'm a second generation Christian. My children are third generation Christians. And someday, God blesses, there might be a fourth generation. But what I notice is that, right, you're not as diligent. You allow things to go sideways. You abdicate that responsibility to someone else. The Word of God is not core. And then your descendants begin to drift. When it ought to just get stronger and healthier and more spiritual. A faithfulness in this area is going to lead to a godly line of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And I'm telling you, don't be short-sighted. Matt, don't be short-sighted. And I'm glad that God's working in your home, but it's easy to be short-sighted, isn't it? It's easy to look at little Emma and little Junior, and I know you're not little, but Junior and Bethany. And say they're just kids and I'm busy with work and I've got all these things going on. I don't quite have the time. I'm telling you, they're not going to be little for long. They'll be grown and they'll be going to college and they'll be getting married and they'll be having their own kids. And then you're going to look back with regret and say, why didn't I spend more time teaching them Scripture? And especially if they start to go sideways and they start living for the world and they reject God and they reject the church and they reject the Word of God, your heart will be broken. And I failed in this area as your preacher. I'm busy. And what has happened is, in many cases, I've allowed the spiritual health of my family to go, right, uncared for. But there's nothing like your oldest going to Bible college to draw you back to reality and say, hey, this isn't forever. I get it, Misty. It's tough raising those kids. But someday Amaya and Caitlin and man, even little Tank. So I call him the Tank. He's a big boy. Right? What's going to happen? They're going to go off. They're going to live their own lives. And what is it going to mean for you? What kind of line are you going to have? What kind of children do you want? What kind of grandchildren do you want? Right, Sister Kathy? Praise God. God's going to work in your home. And you get to enjoy seeing your children raise their children for God. Education belongs to the family. Some today want to downplay the influence of parents on their children. You think that social media and friends should have an equally great influence on your kids. But who makes a choice where your kids attend school? You do. Who makes the choice what media your kids is exposed to? You do. By the way, you give your kid a phone with unfettered access to the internet, you're ignorant. And I say that in the most loving way possible. Don't be ignorant. There's all kinds of, you know it. What do you think's going to happen? Do you remember when you were 12, 13 years old? Brother Robert, you remember those 8 years? What would have happened if someone gave you a tablet with the internet? Probably been in trouble. Be on it 24/7. Being in things you ought not be in. Amen. I got in things that even I didn't have the internet, I got in trouble. But you give this influence, right, of social media, of friends. You say, oh, my kids need friends. Maybe. Be careful. The folks in the Bible had friends, didn't turn out well for them. Right?
We make those decisions. We have that influence. Education belongs to the family. And I've talked about this. Education is not just schooling. Education is lifelong. I'll tell you, most schools don't provide genuine education. Yes, you should teach your children reading, writing, arithmetic. But you've got to understand the world. You've got to understand the world through the lens of God's Word, the Bible. And it's got to be done so that science is understood through the light of God's Word. Math even itself is understood through the light of God's Word. History is understood through the light of God's Word. All of it is gospel-centric, Bible-centric, that the God of Scripture, He is the foundation for that knowledge, for that wisdom. What does it say in Proverbs 1:7? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Knowledge. Where are your kids going to get that education? Home. Deuteronomy 6, Ephesians 6. There's nowhere in the Bible. Are we given this principle? Throughout the Bible, we see this principle that parents are responsible for that education and that it's to be a Christian education. You say, well, it's too hard. Isn't it amazing? We got a whole new reset going on. Everybody that said it was too hard to homeschool, guess what? They get to homeschool. Welcome to our world. I told somebody the other day we ought to start a business, Homeschool Incorporated. We had a lady reach out, some lady we've had very little interaction with, that painted the windows at our other church. She reached out to my wife and said, my granddaughter's having to homeschool. Can you help her? I'm like, how does she know to reach out to us? Right? So, brothers and sisters, don't look at this as a curse. Oh, man. Oh, man, now my kid's got to be home. No, look at it as a blessing. Praise God. All right, Lord. I guess if there's anything that you want me to do, it's teach my kids. Right. Educate my kids. We need to give our children a Christian education. We are to train our children in the way of Christ. And if God's Word is to be a part of everything we do, get this, it needs to be a part of their education. I'm delighted. I'm delighted, Misty, that you're going to be doing a Christian education for your kids. I'm thrilled. It's going to be like, wow. I'm delighted. I'm delighted. Amanda, I know it's tough. I'm delighted, though, you're continuing giving your kids a Christian education. Just thrills my heart. Now, hear me. This needs to be your guiding principle in raising your children and educating your children. And here's the question you need to ask yourself. You ready? Is the education I've chosen for my children training them in the way of Christ? Is it? Is this education training my children, my son, my daughter, to love Christ with his or her whole being? Now, you could choose to homeschool. You could choose to send them to Christian school. You could choose to send them to public school. But I'm telling you, be real. Don't get offended. Be real. You put your kids through a public school, what's going to happen? Is the Word of God going to be a part of everything they do? Well, it's just too hard. They need a good education. No, they need a Bible education. Well, you know, we're going to try to adjust that and fix it. I'm telling you, all you have to do is read the news. They signed a bill where they're starting to teach sexual education, right, from the very youngest ages. Right? What do you think is going to happen? This whole philosophy is, anything goes, this reprobate mind, that's exactly what's going on. A reprobate mind is a mind that just is, it's just messed up. You look at yourself and you're a man, you think you're a woman. That's a reprobate mind. This sexual revolution is described in the book of Romans, which is, right, promiscuousness, homosexuality, and then being a reprobate. That's where we're at as a country. What do you think is going to happen in the schools? It's happening in the schools. It's okay. You need to accept it. That's your choice. You don't have feelings for men, then you must be queer. If you're a boy. If you don't have feelings, and I get it. I'm preaching with expectation. Right. I love you.
I want your kids to be raised up for God. I don't want you to be brokenhearted. I don't want to be brokenhearted. I love your kids. And I see what's happening is you say, well, Pastor, it's just easier. Well, listen, you're going to be easy. It'll be hard later.
Right. Don't forget God. And this is the last point. You're to teach your children education. Belongs to you, the family. But don't forget God. We are not to forget the Lord our God. And this idea of forgetting is not referring to a memory problem. It's that idea of forsaking God. And you look in chapter 6, verses 10 through 15, what does he say? He talks about, man, God's going to give you this land. He's going to give you houses you didn't build. He's going to give you houses full of stuff that you didn't put in there. Wells that are digged, which you didn't dig. Vineyards, olive trees, which you didn't plant. He's going to give you everything. You're going to be able to eat. You're going to be full. You're going to have your belly full. You're going to be so blessed. Don't forget God. Don't forsake God. We have all these good things. We have our houses, our food, our jobs, our cars, our electronics. But we cannot forsake God. We cannot, verse 15, go after the gods of the people among you. Verse 14, you shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people, which are what? Round about you. And that is what has happened in our country. Our president is one of the most proud men you'll ever meet. I'm not saying he's better than the alternative, but he's a very proud man.
He said, we should...
Listen, don't give me that. You can't see the pride?
Right.
He's proud.
Right.
That scares me to death. I'm glad for what he's doing. I'm glad for the stand he's taken. But boy, I tell you what he needs to do is humble himself before God and say, God, help us!
Right.
And I pray that he does. You ought to pray for him. Hear me. We live in a country that's abandoned God. Where people despise the church and they despise the Word of God. Where it's become hate speech to speak the truth. They reject biblical marriage. They reject morality. They want more government control. They want less personal responsibility. And we're watching our nation in decline. And it breaks my heart. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves folded into that. How did this happen? Because parents, I think in a big part, parents were unfaithful in their parental responsibilities. Can you sit there honestly and tell me that the public school system, the government school system, and the public university system is not driving the decline of our country? You're not for me, against them. Well, I can't say anything because I'm a teacher and I can't say anything about God. Then that's a problem. Because the Bible says you should confess me before men. You say, well, they're good people. I get they're good people. It doesn't make it right. We got good people in our church. Sometimes good people don't do right things. And that's okay to say that. Well, they're heroes. They're essential. Listen, call truth, truth. I went to the Everett Community College. We go and preach there. What do they got? They got big signs of all kinds of perverted things. Come to this class. We'll teach you these perverted things. Right? I see it. You see it. And we see this nation in decline. I'll tell you, you know what the source of systemic racism is in our country, if there is one? It's the school system. Do you think it's all about money? And I do believe that the root of all evil is money, the love of money, right? But they are activists. They want to turn your children into godless people. They want to create little activists. I found it interesting that when you look at all this rioting and Marxism, a lot of the people getting arrested are what? Teachers. They're socialists, many of them. And they're influencing the curriculum. You say, well, we teach at home, but we use their curriculum. Beware.
What are they teaching your kids about history? What are they teaching your kids about science? Be careful.
You say, well, I just wish they would let us take that money and have charter schools.
Listen, any government money is going to come with strings. It's about control. It's about bringing people to that place where we think, right? In an ungodly way.
And I went to public school
till sixth grade. Good public school, too.
One of the best in the state. Guess what? It was godless.
It was. Now I get it. But you ought to pray, God, what should be my responsibility? And my point, my idea, my hope today is this. Christian education is important.
Christy and I were talking about how can we participate or join with you in your families in helping you raise your kids and educate them.
I don't think a Christian school is the answer. At least not right now.
The Faith Baptist Church ought to produce children who love God, who know their Bibles, and who, right, are surrounded by what?
The Word of God.
In their thinking, in their approach, in all that they do. Christian, teach them diligently to your children. Maybe it was just you get lazy, maybe you just don't really understand what's happening, but we must teach our children so they do not, what? Forget God. Let's close with Psalm 78. Praise God for the opportunity. Now, I want you to think about this. I pushed on you a little this morning. So hopefully I challenged you. You say, now what I want to do, instead of you just walking out of here and say, well, that's the pastor thinks. Get into the Bible and come up with a conviction of your own.
Right. Amen or oh me.
One mark of a Christian is someone, when they look into the law of liberty and they reflect back something they don't like, they say, oh, I need to think differently about this. Right?
So don't get upset. I say it in love. What's the last time I preached on Christian education? It's been a long time. But I feel, man, what an opportunity.
And this is what gets me excited. Get this. Look at Psalm 78. Look at verses 5 through 8. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make known to their, what? Children. That the generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their, what? Children. That they may set their, what? Hope in God. I'll tell you, there's coming a time in our country where we're going to need to be able to set our hope in God. I believe that in my lifetime, certainly my children's lifetime, we will face physical persecution for our faith. Get that, Brother Robert. Cole may have to go to jail for his faith. Now, you say, that's tough. Hey, man, rejoice. Set your hope in God. Look what it says. And not forget the what? Works of God, but keep His commandments and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Hey! Be excited. Rejoice.
Well, I got an opportunity. I get to raise these children for God. I get to see them launch for the Lord. I'll tell you, man. Parenting is hard work. Teaching your kids at home is hard work. There's days we went, actually this summer we went and looked at a Christian school. Thought about, man, maybe we should put our kids in Christian school. Not against it. But some of the reason was sort of tired of all the hard work.
I want someone else to do the work. But then Christy and I came away and we prayed and we said, well, Lord, what do you want? And the Lord said, this is your job. I've equipped you. And listen, Mom and Dad, God has equipped you. There's no one better to teach your children. Well, I don't have a degree. Gotcha. But you have. Man, think of all the resources God has given us. Think of everything that He's blessed us with. And do you not think that if God gave you children, that He would not have equipped you and made you exactly what your children need? That with His help and by His grace, you can be, Amanda, exactly what your kids need. Stop thinking that, boy, they could get a better education somewhere else. If you're doing God's will and you're following God and you're seeking Him every day, guess what? They're getting the best education that God wants for them. Don't let Satan in this world lie to you. Well, you're a dummy. You don't have a 4-year degree. I'll tell you this. I don't have a degree in computer science, but I'm a software engineer manager for people with masters and doctorates. Because that's what God wants. And He's enabled me. I don't want any other reason. Because I'm not that smart. And guess what, Brother Zach? God, yeah, you say, well, I don't have a degree. You know, I just barely made it out of high school. Guess what? God will give you everything you need to be the kind of parent and to raise your kids and to educate them as He wants you. Misty, I get it. Barely. Man, I've worked hard, pulled myself up. But guess what? Amaya and Caitlin, right? Your children. God has given you and will give you the grace to be everything you need to be for them. Rejoice in that. Claim it. Say, God, all right. These are the principles. I'm convicted. I don't know how it's going to happen. Bless my kids. Keep me from killing them. Lord, help me. I need you. Do you think He wouldn't just guide you? And lead you, and help you, and shower His grace upon you. Teach them. Teach them diligently. Recognize the importance of a Christian education. More than anything, teach them the gospel. Show them that Jesus died, buried, and rose again. And today, if you're here and you don't know the Savior, you need to. Children, here, listen. Love your parents. Realize the sacrifice they're making for you, that your papa's making for you. You got it? Junior, you got it? Do you realize your mama could just ship you off, not have to worry about you all day long? She could just eat bonbons and drink Diet Coke. But no, your daddy and her, they say, you know what, it's important that Junior learns God and learns about God and the Word of God. And so we're going to do this. And it's a lot of hard work and it's a lot of very expensive, right? You kids, Caitlin, you got to rejoice that your mama says, you know what, I'll teach you at home. You got it, Emma? Praise God for parents that are willing to do that. I know it's hard, but God gives more grace. Let's pray. Maybe this morning, God's spoken to you. Maybe you say, Pastor, maybe there's just some stubbornness, some pride. Maybe it's just insecurity. You say, Pastor, I just don't feel like you do a good enough job. Hey, if God has instructed you to do it, then He will give you the grace to complete it. So shove out of your mind the lie of Satan, the deception of Satan, and go to God and say, God, I can't do it. Don't be proud. Go to God, humble yourself, say, God, I can't do this in my own flesh. I need you. I need wisdom. I need strength. And then give it to God. Humble yourself before God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we don't have a piano this morning, but maybe the Lord has spoken to you. I just want to take a minute and allow you an opportunity to respond to Him. Father, bless us now. We thank you for the clarity of your word. And even when things seem really difficult, we're so thankful that you are a gracious God. And Lord, you're never going to put us in a situation where obeying you is impossible. Father, may we find ourselves forced to our knees, seeking you. Well, we don't want to contribute and make things worse in our nation. We want to raise up a godly generation and to see our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren be even better Christians, closer to you, making a difference in this sinful world. We need your help. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the work that you're doing in our homes. We love you for it. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. So we got two things I want to do this morning. Number one, we're going to honor Andrew in his graduation. So come on up here, Andrew. So Andrew is the first graduate of Teasdale Academy. And we're so glad for it. And we're going to celebrate. I hope you'll stay. We're going to have a little lunch. So beautiful cake got made, some good food. I smell it, making me hungry. And anyway,